Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, engage today's top thinkers from around the world to bring you information, inspiration, and thought-provoking ideas you can put to use in your personal and professional life right now. Covering a broad range of topics, Close Up Radio digs deep to discover what makes today's top thinkers tick. Close Up Radio, where ideas matter. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. We're live on Close Up Radio Live. This is your host, Jim Masters. A pleasure to have you with us today. Thanks for making us a part of your day. Fascinating conversation we have coming up on Close Up Radio Live with our very special guest, Jenny Lieger of Rockwood Recovery Incorporated, based in Roseville, Michigan. Jenny is the owner of Rockwood Recovery Incorporated, a woman-owned auto repossession company serving the Metro Detroit, Michigan area. Rockwood Recovery repossesses more than just cars. They also repossess boats, even lawnmowers, campers, semis, travel trailers, pretty much everything with a motor and or wheels. Anything that you can finance, they can repo it. Rockwood Recovery was officially established back in 2011. They have a web-based platform where if a vehicle is up for repossession, the banks will send them an order through that web-based platform. The guys drive to the address in the middle of the night. If the car is there, they back up into it with their truck, and they hook it up, and then they leave. This is all done in like 60 seconds. Now, they don't want to be caught or have everyone come out and see them, of course. In addition to repossessions, Jenny also maintains other business ventures with her family members. Rockwood Lock and Key Company, where she makes spare keys for customers, the car keys. In addition, Jenny, according to her, the business is also co-owned by her husband and son. Rockwood Automotive Group, co-owned by Jenny and her husband, focuses on dealer services, auto repair, and collision. In addition to her business ventures, Jenny received an award for Women in Collections and Recoveries, where she was speaking on a panel. It's part of a larger event occurring in Arizona known as Used Car Week. She's also the past president of the Michigan Association of Repossession Agencies. Fascinating conversation. We're going to learn a lot about how the whole process works. Their website is rockwoodrecovery.com. Let's welcome Jenny live and direct from Michigan to Close Up Radio Live for this 30-minute uninterrupted conversation. Jenny, welcome to the program today. It is a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I'm really happy to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you here. And I just wanted to start off by saying my car is fully paid off, and I have the title.
And that's a good
that's
thing,
an accomplishment,
Jim.
Isn't it? That is an
it
accomplishment.
Sure is.
You should be proud in this economy to do those things. So wear that badge proudly. How did you get into this line of work? What was it about automobiles and just all of the incredible stuff that you do? Where did this interest and inspiration come to then Rockwood Recovery being created?
This was actually my husband's idea. He was a master mechanic for 25 plus years before we started the business, and he had gotten a taste for repossessions working with another gentleman helping him out on the side. And fast forward to 2011, after what we all went through, 2008, 2009, we thought it'd be a good idea to start a repo company. And fortunately, with my background starting back with the National Bank of Detroit, NBD, back in 1998, I was on a path to run a business not knowing. You know, sometimes you can be on a path and not know it. You know, went from National Bank to Detroit to Smith Barney working, on the market with stocks and bonds. And then after that, I went to work with another financial advisor, and I obtained my Series 6 license with him. And from there, I went into real estate, got a real estate license. And then from there, I went into healthcare, and not knowing all of those things were leading me right to where I belong. None of those things really fueled my fire. So I never had a passion for any of those things and never knew why, but I think I was put on this path to learn to be a business owner and run my own business eventually, and that's exactly what we decided to do. And in 2011, we started up Rockwood Recovery while we were both still working our 9-to-5 jobs and raising our son at the time. And we just worked until it got to the point where we were so busy that we were able to quit both of our 9-to-5 jobs in 2014 and 15. And now we have 3 businesses, and here we are.
That's amazing, huh? Talk about multitasking to the max. Ooh, that's incredible. Wow. So Rockwood Recovery, tell us about the services. I mentioned in the introduction just a little bit about, you know, some of what you do, but expand further on the services that you offer with the recovery part, with Rockwood Recovery.
So we not only do repossessions, but we do in-house keys, which you had mentioned, Rockwood Lock and Key. My son is our key specialist, and we make keys for our clients if they request a key for the vehicle before it goes to auction, or even the customers. If they want a spare key, we'll make keys for them. Rockwood Automotive Group is more focused on auto repair, collision, and dealer services. We also provide transport for our clients, and in the future, we would like to add in remarketing, so everything's just kind of under one roof. They won't even have to transport to the auction. We will be their auction for them, hopefully, in the future.
Well, that's great, huh? That's fantastic.
Yep. And not just anything with wheels and engines like you had mentioned before. We've actually had orders for a brain scanner before. We've had an order for a mechanical bowl. So
wow,
it can
really
be, yeah, pretty much anything you can finance. Like you said, we can repo it.
That's amazing. It really is. Wow. You don't realize. And, you know, I guess sometimes people fall into situations where there's overextending, and especially with the cars, the supply chain, the inflation, the pandemic monies people had, you see it in the news. It's extraordinary, the climb and rise in repossessions, especially with automobiles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually done a couple consumer reports for our local news stations, and on the Lester Holt show, they called for an opinion on, you know, what the market's looking like and what the future holds, and the indicators are all there that it's not looking like it's going to be really good. So unfortunately, what's good for us isn't good for everybody else.
Right, exactly. It's tough stuff. And, you know, for the listeners, is what you do similar to what we see, you know, on television, like True TV reality shows or Operation Repo or Lizard Lick Towing or any of that, or some of it, I guess, is sort of created or hyped?
Yeah, absolutely not. That's a real common misconception, though, and that's probably one of the first things I hear out of everybody's mouth when I tell them I own a repo company. You know, oh, my gosh, is it like that Lizard Lick show? Is it like, you know? Well, I don't know what their laws are in the states that those TV shows operate in, but in Michigan and a lot of other states, a lot of us would be in jail for all of the antics that they pull off on those shows. So, no, it's absolutely nothing like that. A good night for us is a boring night. You know, the guys go out, they pick up their cars, they have no contact. That's a good night for us. That's what we're trying to accomplish. We want to limit all the contact that we can have, you know, with the customer. So, no, it's absolutely nothing like the TV shows at all.
That's really good to know, right? Really good to know. And so how does it really work when you actually have to do a repossession? I mean, I'm sure it's not something that you're excited about having to do, because you understand sometimes things happen in people's lives, but when it does have to happen and you've got the directive, how does it actually work?
Well, I'm going to give you a real quick start to finish on the process, and I'm going to make it sound really, really easy, but it really is not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bank will issue the order for repossession, and that bank is going to make the decision on when that particular customer's up for repossession. Everyone has this thing in their head that they think that, oh, I'm 30 days, I'm not going to be up for repo, but it all depends on the risk of your loan and if you've been repossessed in the past also. But once the vehicle's up for repossession, the bank will issue the order, And when we receive the order, we'll do a quick scrub on it. And what I mean by that is just a little quick run on the vehicle itself to make sure there is a lien on the vehicle before we even proceed, and to maybe try to grab a current home address or a place of employment. And then once that order is accepted and has been scrubbed, it goes into our web-based system, which then transfers to another web-based system, which is like a mapping system for us. And it'll just appear as a dot on a map for the agent to run with the very basic, very, very basic information that we're provided, which is the VIN on the vehicle, year, make, model, the person's name, cosigner if there is one, and any available addresses that they have for us. Once the guys start running the account, they have a program that they can use to put an update in to let the client know, you know, hey, we checked this address, the vehicle's not here, but we will be back, you know, to check it again. And if the vehicle is recovered, the first thing the agent's going to do, of course, is verify he has the right vehicle by checking the VIN, the full VIN. He will then, you know, hook up to the vehicle, strap it, light it, and get somewhere safe, and he'll notify the client through our web-based program that he has possession of the vehicle. And then it'll be brought back to our location, and then in the morning, our morning crew will come in, the office girls will go out. They'll, again, verify the VIN to make sure we, again, have the right vehicle. We have to verify the VIN numerous times just to make sure. They'll do a quick inventory on the property and the vehicle, and they will submit pictures of the vehicle and complete a condition report of what condition the vehicle is in. And then the vehicle will sit for anywhere from about 10 days. It's on our lot before the bank will send the transport company or ask us to transport it to the nearest auction, at which point we've already cleaned the vehicle out. We are responsible for the property in that vehicle for up to 45 days per the state of Michigan, and we'll store that property for them. The vehicle will go to the auction. They are not allowed to auction off the vehicle until 30 days from the date of the actual repossession, and that's in Michigan. I can't speak for any other states on that. I don't know how they work. But once that vehicle has gone to the auction yard, it'll wait until the 30th day, and then they'll sell it. And then whatever the difference is on the vehicle that the customer owes, the bank will contact them to complete the payments. If not, it, you know, it goes on to court, and they get a judgment, and it goes from there. And then the car will be sold, and that's it. And that's the end of the process.
Yeah, it's an interesting process, and pretty intense too. What happens once you do, speaking on the car side of things, when you repossess a vehicle, what happens once you do that?
As in, what do you mean?
I guess what happens to the car, what happens next is the consumer...
It'll be sold at the auction and...
try to get the car back or...
They all have the opportunity to get the car back, yes. Like
yeah.
I said, they have up until 30 days from the date of repossession to make arrangements with the bank to make their payment and get caught up, or maybe go on an extended pay added to the back of the loan if they qualify for it. It really depends on the person's credit and their history on the repossessions, if the bank, you know, was going to be willing to work with them or not, and the risk of the loan, of course.
Right, exactly. And it's really fascinating. So started in the banking industry, as you mentioned, and originally was a side hustle, became full-time. And then there's other business ventures too, Rockwood Automotive, as you mentioned, Rockwood Lock and Key. Tell us about some of the other services and sort of satellite companies that are a part of
the equation. It's all under one roof.
Yeah.
Rockwood Automotive, we just established just a few months ago, maybe 5 or 6 months ago, and we are working on our dealer license, which will be a wholesale dealer license, which will give us access to those auction yards that I'm talking about where the repos go. We'll have access to those auctions to be able to buy vehicles, and then we can turn around and sell those to other dealers only with the wholesale license. And that's kind of what we wanted to limit our exposure to the public with collision and the auto repair. It's mostly going to be in-house for our dealers that will be selling our vehicles to, our wholesale vehicles to.
Yeah, that's really fascinating. It's you know,
it's a lot.
It's also,
yeah, we do a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. You guys, like I said, multitasking, but all tied, you know, similar, tied together. And, you know, mm-hmm. I think it congratulations, too, because this is, it's a woman-owned business in this case, and that alone is very inspiring, empowering, and motivational, and exciting for others out there who might be thinking about getting involved in businesses, being entrepreneurs, you know, creating their own businesses. How has that been? Has it been difficult, a rocky road? Have you had a lot of resistance? Or have you just plowed through doing what you
I
do so well?
I kind of just plowed right through it. I just kind of came in the industry and said, I'm here. Here I am. This is where I'm meant to be. This is my passion. I found my thing. You know, this is me. This is what I want to do. The business wasn't always just woman-owned. It was myself and my husband. But when we started up the other businesses, we kind of switched things around a little bit. Obviously, there's some benefits to being a woman-owned company. And like I said, I just kind of plowed right into it. I had some people that reached out to me that tried to act like they were going to help mentor me when I came into the business. And instead, they did the opposite and tried to take us out of business. So I kind of was apprehensive about the people in the industry. But then I met this amazing group of women that are all collaborating together, and they're working together, and they're getting their associations up and running, and they're the leaders, they're the presidents of their associations. And I'm blessed to have these women that accepted me with open arms, you know, and took me under their wing and made me a part of their world and are willing to help mentor. And I have nothing to offer to these people. These people are way bigger companies than I could ever imagine being, but yet they still took me in. And that has a lot to do with my success, is to have a group of like-minded women that we're all passionate about what we do, and we're all willing to help each other out. And it's kind of become a thing in the industry now that all the women are kind of stepping forward, and it makes such a difference. Women handle things differently, and this was actually something that we spoke about on our panel at Used Car Week, the way that we just handle things different. And in this business, you got to have the compassion and the empathy, and, you know, unfortunately, the men kind of lack that. So, I kind of just plowed into this, and I have all these amazing women that did the same thing, and we're all just moving forward and trying to help each other out.
Which is incredibly important, right? It takes a village. What is the most, from your perspective, maybe amazing, unusual thing that you've actually repoed, and that you got the repo order for?
Oh, wow. That's a good question. We get a lot of repo orders for a lot of exotic things. Do we ever repo them? Usually not. They're usually in a garage. But in the last year or so, I could say that I think the most amazing thing that we picked up was a 2022 Rolls-Royce Ghost with a full custom wrap and custom interior. And, that car was pretty amazing, pretty amazing. And we just repossessed a Mercedes G-Wagon a couple days ago too. So that one's pretty high up there too. They're pretty expensive, exotic vehicles. And, they're not always easy to get, but we managed to get a couple of them. And, you know, like I said earlier in the show that, you know, we've had an order for a mechanical bull, and a brain scanner, MRI, portable MRI thing that I didn't even know existed. But it's out there, and I guess it can be repo too. We've, you know, picked up semis, boats, jet skis. We've repossessed lawnmowers. Just the craziest thing you could think of, we've probably repossessed it.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. It really is. Advice for the listeners, the folks that are listening, obviously nobody wants to be in a situation where something that they purchased that either they needed and or they just wanted, fell in love with, had to have it, whatever the case may be, all of a sudden they get into a situation where the monies that it takes to continue to pay on it, whatever it is, become scarce, dried up, or whatever. And there's a million reasons why people get into the situations, money allocated elsewhere instead of towards the payments or whatever it may be. From an expert, I mean, you don't necessarily, again, take pleasure in repossessing people's things, but there's reasons for it, of course. What would some advice, you know, this is really, listen up, everybody, this is coming from an expert in the industry who's actually going to try to help you not have to have this happen. Some advice you have for our listeners so they don't get into these situations?
Well, number one, don't buy a car that you can't afford. That's the biggest thing. Don't overextend yourself. Try to stay out of that. Don't put yourself in that position. Try to stay out of that position where you might fall behind. Make sure that whatever you're going to be making a payment on, it is going to work for you. You should never have a car payment that's more than one week's paycheck. And that's what I learned a long time ago when I was young, and that's the advice I pass on to everybody in regards to that. You know, also, don't ignore the letters. Don't ignore the phone calls, the text messages, the emails. They will try every attempt to get a hold of you to just talk to you, find out what your situation is. If you're having a medical situation or if you have family issues, somebody passed away, or whatever the situation, maybe your house needed a roof and you didn't make your car payment for 2 months, you know, talk to them, answer that phone call, call them back. They really don't want to repossess your vehicle. It's more liability on them. They'd rather just take the payment from you. So don't dodge the phone calls and just be honest with them. And a lot of the banks will be willing to work with you to maybe take those payments and split them in half for a couple months or add those couple months you're behind onto the end of your loan to give you a little relief for a month or two. There's always something that they can try to do to help you. If you qualify, I can't say if you qualify or not, but if you qualify for it, there a lot of them are going to be more than willing to work with you to keep you current on your loan.
That's important. That really, really is. And great advice.
And don't forget,
again,
they always have the option also for redemption. You know, so don't think it's the end of the world. If your car does get repossessed, call the bank immediately and see what you have to do to get your vehicle back. And they may, you know, be able to, again, put something on the end of the loan or accept a partial payment with good faith that you're going to make a payment the following month. And I know the banks are working with the customers right now because our redemption rate right now is higher than we have ever seen before. I think of the vehicles that we repossess, I would say 60 to 70% of the vehicles that we repossess are being redeemed by the customer from our lot. They're not going to the auction. So I know the banks are giving extensions and helping any way they can to keep you in your vehicle. Because again, if you can't go to work, you don't have your vehicle, you can't make the payment. The bank doesn't want that. They're not going to get money out of you that way. So just work with them. They will work with you. If you just have to pick up the phone call, don't ignore it.
I would imagine, you know, it must be difficult sometimes for you guys even doing the work. Sometimes, you know, at night the consumer hears the noise or comes running out their door and, you know, they try to confront or block, don't allow, whatever it is to be repossessed, especially the cars. How are you guys safe? I've always thought about that. People, and I know a couple of people personally who've done that kind of work, and I've heard the stories of people will come flying out of their house or out of their business, and they'll be, you know, in attack mode. Does your team who's out there doing the work that, you know, they're assigned to do, stay safe, stay well during a process where sometimes there isn't somebody who's going to just freely let the item go away?
Right, right. Well, obviously there's a lot of risk with what we do. So safety and compliance two of the biggest things that we focus on, especially with our agents. And the risk isn't always just the customer. And most of the time, it's not the customer. The risk is getting to the address safely without getting hit by a drunk driver or the neighbor, you know, that sees you repossessing their neighbor's car, and they always feel like they need to intervene, you know, and become a part of it. There's more risk than you could imagine out there. But we do a lot of training, a lot of safety training with our guys. We're constantly talking with them, you know, to, giving them tips. And we have cameras that pick up video and audio. We can do live views with them so we can check in on them. It's always on GPS, so I always know where they're at. And unfortunately, like I said, there's so much risk that we actually lost a guy on the road 2 years ago in April 2021. He was driving one of our camera cars, and he was our best friend of 18 years, mine and my husband, so still a little hard to talk about.
Yeah.
But he got hit by a drunk driver, and was killed instantly. And you think about these risks, oh my God, these people are going to come out and shoot at me, or they're going to try to run me over with their car. And you forget about those other little things of you have to get to the address safely first before you can repo a car or look for it, you know, and you may not. So training is the biggest thing. We do a ton of training, especially, you know, after we lost our guy. And even before that, he was one of the biggest people that was in the training and up on the training, you know. We just provide our guys with all the tools and all the training necessary to complete their job safely. If the customer comes out and they're being irate or they want to fight over the car, and it's going to happen more and more because, you know, desperation causes people to do a lot of ugly things. And with the way the economy is going, it's not going to get any prettier. But our agents are instructed, if you encounter an irate customer that you can't de-escalate them, just leave. Just drive the car and leave. It's not worth anybody's life. No car is worth anybody's life. And we don't want any of our agents putting their lives in danger to pick up a vehicle. It's just not worth it, especially with the amount of work that we have. You know, you can go around the block and find another vehicle to pick up where someone's not trying to kill you, you know. So any presence of weapons or anything of that matter, our guys are instructed to leave immediately. And unfortunately, with the city of Detroit, you can't call in every instance that you have because no one's going to show up. They just, you know, not enough manpower. That's the story of everybody's, you know, business right now. But if it's in another city other than Detroit, the, you know, our agents are instructed to call it in and let them know, hey, this, you know, tried to repossess this guy's car and he came out with a gun, you know, put a flag in the account so that another agent doesn't run into the same type of thing. It could close from our company and go to another company, and that agent could go in the next day not knowing what our agent just encountered, you know. So we're very active with the police. All of our repossessions are reported through the police station so that they know we have vehicles, and any encounters that we have with any of the, you know, I mean, like I said, it's usually not even the customer. It's usually the neighbor that comes out with the gun. And any encounter that we have like that is immediately reported to the police department, so they're aware. And then they can make another agent aware if they call in, you know.
Yeah, right.
It's scary. It's scary ever since, you know, COVID and, you know, they relaxed on the policing. We don't have a lot of protection. We only have each other. So being that I was the president of the Michigan Association, all of our agents are also instructed when they're out, if they see another agency having contact with the customer, they're instructed to go and help. You know, obviously if they're going to be, if they can keep themselves safe, but you see one of our agents from, you know, down the road from us and they're having contact and it's not looking great, go stop and help that guy. You know, we don't want to lose any agents. We've lost enough in the last 2-3 years. It's across the country. It's just been a huge uptick. So all of us are really focusing hard on the training and the safety for our agents.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's extraordinary what goes on and how it's all done, and just always found it fascinating. Really takes a certain kind of person to be able to go out and just willfully do it and say, mm-hmm. we've got to get this done, and definitely, and you guys are, you know, craftsmen doing this work. I encourage folks, if they want to learn more, they can go to rockwoodrecovery.com, R-O-C-K-W-O-O-D, recovery.com. And, Jenny, this was a terrific conversation. I really appreciate you explaining it all and sharing the history of the company and all the other work that's happening, and wish you, you know, continued success in everything that you do, and have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday, and hopefully we'll chat some more down the line. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. You have yourself a happy Thanksgiving, too, and thank you for having me on the show, and I hope, you know, someone might learn something from what we talked about, maybe make their lives a little bit easier for the future.
And again, more power to you with it being a woman-owned auto repossession company. That's a very inspiring story when it comes to women's empowerment. So kudos to you doing that work as well. And again, continued blessing coming your way. And thank you very much for joining us on the show here, Close Up Radio. Gang, this is your host, Jim Masters. We thank Jenny for being with us. We thank you for being with us as well on this episode. It's always a pleasure to have you here. This episode is fully archived, so you can hear it in its entirety. And as I mentioned, she won an award for Women in Collections and Recoveries, which is very exciting. We appreciate her being here. We appreciate you as well. Stay tuned. We'll be back momentarily with another incredible guest celebrated right here for you live on Close Up Radio. So then, for all of us, have a great day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.